Well, good evening. I want to share a story with you. Nate and I were in Charleston, and this was back in April during Master's Week. We had went to Greenville just to spend time with family, and we decided with my sister to go to Charleston for a day just to see the beach because I was itching to see the beach. Have you ever been there? Yes. So it was still cold and couldn't enjoy it really, but I got to see Charleston and it was very nice down there. But we went to a hotel room and we had been driving all day and we were kind of exhausted. We were going to look for a really cool restaurant because anywhere you go that's new, I want to go to a new restaurant. I don't want to go to the same ones that we have in Augusta. I want to go to a new place, right? Exactly. And so this is my theory at least. And so I was searching on Yelp, you know, the reviews. I look at all the reviews because I want to make sure I'm making the right choice, especially when you only have one chance, you know? And so I'm looking on reviews, you know, I think Nate's taking a shower. Karis, who knows what she's doing? And Adelie usually is running around. So I'm just like, okay, I'm going to put my feet up for just a few minutes. And just rest. A mom's work is never done. So, you know, I just was going to put my feet up and rest for a minute and look at Yelp. It sounded nice to me. And so, you know, Nate gets out of the shower and Karis comes in there and I'm looking around and I'm like, anybody seen Allie? They're like, no, I thought she was in here with you. I said, I thought she was in there with you because usually when you're in the bathroom, that's where your children are too. Sadly enough, you have no time to yourself. But she was nowhere to be found. And you know that panic that comes over you in those moments. I'm like, holy cow. Okay, so I'm looking all around the beds. I'm thinking she has to be like under the bed somewhere just crawling. And she liked to play hide and seek. They were playing hide and seek earlier. So I'm like, okay, well, she's going to be fine. I'm just going to look for her. I was like, okay, peace of God, come on. And I'm looking all around. She is not in the hotel room. She's nowhere to be found. It's not that big, so you can turn every corner, and she wasn't there. So I'm like, where would she be? And so I, like, open the door to the hotel room and go out the hallway, and I'm looking down. And at the very end of the hallway, she was just hanging out. I was like, Adelie, oh, my gosh. And what happened was earlier we had gone down there to get some ice, right, by the ice machine. And she just had it in her mind that she was just going to go out there and go check out the ice machine again. I was like, okay, thank you, Jesus, first of all, for his protection over our children, even when we lose them. Secondly, you know, she had it in her mind to go her own way. She knew she wasn't supposed to go out there. I mean, come on. I know she's a toddler, but she knows that she wasn't supposed to get out there, but she just was like, I'm going to go look at the ice machine again. And that's kind of like how we are sometimes, right? We kind of want to go our own way, do our own thing. And we think it's a good idea in the moment, right? And so the Bible likens us to sheep. I brought Smitty here to kind of help me with my message tonight. Y'all like Smitty, don't you? He's a cutie, black sheep. It likens us to sheep. And sometimes, you know, people say that that's kind of a bad thing because sheep are stupid, but I don't really think it's a bad thing. And I don't think sheep are really stupid. I think they're actually kind of smart because what sheep do is they follow, you know, it's like they decide that they don't really have good ideas on their own. So they were like, you know, well, there's a shepherd there. They seem pretty good to me, so I'm going to follow them. And they just follow. And I would like to read a scripture about this in Isaiah 53, verse 6. I'm reading in the New Living Translation, but you can read in whatever translation you got. It says, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away, haven't we? We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. I want to read one more scripture. 1 Peter 2:25. It says, "Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your souls." I like that. The guardian of your souls. I think of like guardian of the galaxy, but no. It's guardian of your souls. We were all sheep that wandered away. See, when we were born, we were lost, right? Adam messed it up for us. We were just on our own, messed up, full of sin, dead. But Jesus made a way. He restored our souls. He became that shepherd for us. And sometimes, even as a Christian, as somebody who knows Jesus, we still sometimes turn away. Because either, you know, maybe we think we have great ideas, or maybe our own desires, you know, lead us away. Or, you know, we know who's behind it. We know it's the enemy. But maybe someone leads us astray. You know, there's people that are used. Or maybe it's just a difficulty that you're going through in your life, a sickness or something like that, that leads us astray because we're just like having a tough time. But no matter, you know, whether we're just lost, don't know Jesus, or whether we've known Jesus and we just went astray, we all need a rescuer. And Jesus is our rescuer. He went out searching for us. Right? He looked in all the nooks and crannies. He searched for us so much that he became like us to redeem us. How awesome is that? It's pretty awesome. We're going to turn to John. I've got lots of scriptures. I'm sorry. Just going to tell you ahead of time. I got a lot of scriptures, and I feel like God's got a lot to say, and I'm trusting him to say it all. So we're going to get to John, and then we're going to pray. Y'all, John 10. These are some familiar scriptures. Lord, I thank you that this message is yours. It's not my own. I don't come here to say anything of my own. I just trust you to speak through me. I trust you that your Holy Spirit is here, that you let all this come together. And I just trust you that every one of us, we're open. We look to you, and that you speak to our hearts. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you that even when we were dead in sins, you died for us. You redeemed us from the pit. Thank you, Jesus. We trust you with our whole lives. And thank you for showing us your plan, showing us your will. And I thank you for this night. I thank you that you're doing good things in Good News Church. You're doing good things in us. You're changing us, helping us. And I thank you for just your goodness and your presence being here. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to read John 10. We're talking about sheep tonight. Sheep. And we're talking about the shepherd. We're going to start in verse 3. There's so much to read here. I mean, I could read the whole chapter to you, but we don't have time for that. It says in verse 3, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Isn't it good that he knows our name? He knows us so well. "After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him." We're sheep, and we're smart because we follow, right? "Because they know his voice, they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Well, that's good. As sheep, we should know our shepherd's voice. We got to get to know our shepherd's voice. And the only way to get to know our shepherd's voice is through the Word of God. I mean, the Word is His voice to us. The Word was written down on purpose because it can't really be changed too much. It was written down so that over time, over generations, it can be taught to us the same way. And the words would be the same. His words are everlasting. But we got to recognize His voice and we got to know His voice. And a voice of a stranger, we're not going to follow. It's funny, I was reading about sheep themselves, and sheep actually do know their shepherd's voice. And it said that even if, like, there was two shepherds that came and their sheep just kind of intermingled and just sat together in this pasture and were eating, that as soon as their shepherd called on them, they would come. They knew that they weren't supposed to, or if the other shepherd called their sheep, they wouldn't go with that shepherd because they knew that that was not their shepherd. So I think they're pretty smart. They know their shepherd's voice. Okay, we're going to skip down to verse 9. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. And now here is that big scripture we always know, right? The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I think a lot of times I forget that that is the tie to shepherding and sheep. You know, you kind of forget that that's what the context of this verse is, because we say it so much, we say it separately so much, that you forget that he's talking about good pastures, green pastures, luscious land that our shepherd is bringing us to. And he leads us, you know, in Psalm 23, it says, he leads us by still waters. You know, that's our good shepherd. But he says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. He's a good. And the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. He did. He sacrificed his life for the sheep. But the interesting thing in the context of sheep, it talks about the thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. I mean, I think about that. I'm like, well, if you're talking about sheep, you're thinking like wolves or something coming after the sheep trying to steal it or to take it or to hurt it, you know? But Jesus is our shepherd and he's there to protect us. But what the enemy tries to do is he tries to get us astray, right? He kind of tries to get us away from the flock, isolated, alone, so that he can, just like Grayson was talking about last week, deceive us into thinking certain things that are not truth, that are not God's word. And in those moments when we're vulnerable and we're not paying much attention to our shepherd's voice anymore because we're far away from him, that the enemy tries to steal, kill, and destroy. It says that he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy wants us to go astray. He tries to get us astray. Either he entices us with sin or temptation, or maybe he leads us that way because of out of frustration or out of somebody else leading us that way. Or maybe it's because he's been whispering things like, you know what, those people really don't care about you. Or you really, do you really think they really care about you? You know, he comes with all those questions in your head. And I really feel like God's wanting to speak to us and say, you know what? The enemy's trying to get us alone on purpose. And I think our society at this point, it's very separated. I mean, we're on Facebook all day, you know, connecting with people, but not really, you know. We're at our homes and we're, you know, in the past maybe, you know, everybody knows everybody, their neighbors, this and that. Nowadays, that's not true. You know, we don't gather together a lot for different things. And I think that's the enemy's purpose. He wants us to be alone. He wants us to stop reading the word. He wants us to stop attending church. He wants us to be afraid. I thought this was really interesting. That sheep, when they get lost, they have no idea how to get home. They could be just a mile away from where their shepherd is, but they get confused and they just get turned around and they actually do get afraid and they do get like kind of stressed. They don't know what to do. I thought that was really interesting that when they're lost, they need somebody to come rescue them, to lead them back. And so, as I was thinking about this, I was reading some more scriptures. I think the Bible is so cool. Do y'all think the Bible's cool? Because he has themes all throughout the Bible, and you can like get on a theme, and you could just read like 400 scriptures. Not really. But, you know, a lot of scriptures about that theme. I get on themes. I mean, maybe it's the creativity in my brain. I don't know. But I get excited about certain things. And I feel like the Bible is a work of art. It's literature, you know, it's poetry. It's, you know, it's something to be excited about. But anyways, this whole theme of shepherd and sheep is throughout the whole Bible. And in chapter 23, verse 4, it says, "Then I will appoint responsible shepherds who will care for them. And they will never be afraid again. Not a single one will be lost or missing. I, the Lord, have spoken." See, God had a plan in the whole thing. He doesn't only want to be our good shepherd, but he said, "You know what? I want to appoint some shepherds over my flock that they can see, that'll be tangible to them, that can be in front of them, and that can speak words of life to them and feed them." You know, in the scripture where Jesus is talking to Peter and he says, "Do you love me?" What does he say? "Feed my sheep." See, the sheep to Jesus is very important. And so he made it where we have these local churches, right, that are our shepherds are appointed over, and they're looking out for their flock, right? We have our good shepherd who's always with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But we also have in place that God put there a plan for us to gather together as sheep and get the food that we need. Can you get food on your own? Sure. Holy Spirit can give you food. You can read the word, get food on your own. But there is even a special plan that God made so that you can get food as a local body. So Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will guide you with knowledge and understanding." That's pretty cool. That not only do we have God living on the inside of us, who loves us and cares for us and who can speak to us, but we also have people that he's put in place to help guide and lead us and to help us to get in the right direction when we're lost or when we don't know what to do. He put them there, and he put his heart in them. We have awesome pastors, don't we? We have amazing pastors. And I have to say, they feed us well. I've said that before, but they feed us well. How many of you get fed? I am fed good. Got a little fed too much, but you know. He ordained this for there to be pastors. And it says in the word that the pastor's job is to feed the sheep. You know, their job is to break down the word and make it make sense to us or help it make sense to us. I think it's so cool that he created a family for his family. We are family. As sheep, we're family. And he put somebody in charge to say, hey, you lead him. Now, he can't do it on his own. Pastor Matt and Pastor Susie can't do it on their own. That's why I feel like Nate and I are just supports to them. Our job is just to support them and to help relieve some of the burden or help relieve some of the tasks so that they can be focused more on the things that God has called them to do. In Acts 20, verse 28 and 29, it says, he's talking to leaders, he's talking to pastors. He says, so guard yourself and God's people, feed and shepherds God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. See, God said to those leaders, feed and shepherd God's flock. Well, what does a shepherd do? He feeds the sheep. He protects the sheep, right? Jesus, he protects us, but also God has placed in a pastor a job to protect his sheep. He may see things coming that you don't see, and he's trying to reveal to you God's plan and say, hey, look, watch out for this. And he also, if you want to know if somebody's praying for you, I promise you somebody's praying for you. That's another part of that protection. Every time, every day, I'm sure our pastors are praying for us. There's protection there. You know, he sees the wolves, and his part of his job is, it says that wolves would rise up within the sheep, which is kind of crazy. And his job is to drive those people out, because he's not going to have people devouring his sheep, leading them in the wrong direction. It ain't happening. How many times have Pastor Rick come up here and just, you know, he's going after the enemy because that's his heart. He's like, you know what? I don't want anything happening to my sheep. God's appointed them as leaders, and their job is to lead by example. And to throw out that vision in front of us and to guide us into the right direction. Now, I'm not saying that you can't get all of that on your own, because we know the Holy Spirit on the inside of us can give those things. He can feed us. He can protect us. He does all those things. But you have to understand, God orchestrated this whole thing where he made local bodies on purpose. We need to come together. We need someone hearing from God, giving us a message. How many times have, you know, the pastors gotten up here or others and they brought something out of the word that you're like, what? You're like, I didn't even see that. You know, it didn't even occur to me. That's part of their job, is just to break it down and help it make sense to us. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside them and works with them for that. And I think a lot of times, the enemy fights the church. He fights people going to church. There's a trend happening, as you may know, in America. Most churches do not have regular attenders anymore, which is kind of crazy, because, you know, back in the day, it was like, you're going to church and we stand every Sunday, every Wednesday. But you know what? It's a trend. I'm not saying it happens everywhere, but it's a trend that's happening because maybe they're like one thing from one church, one thing from another church. Now, I understand completely. There's some amazing churches out there. God ordained it so that there would be a shepherd that knew you and knew your name and could watch out for you and pray for you and break things down for you, and to feed you. And I see the benefits in that. Do you see the benefits in that? I think it's interesting that it's so easy to get out of the habit to go into church. I mean, I promise you, if I wasn't serving some days, I'm sure there would be days I'd be like, I'm sleeping in. No. But the enemy will try everything, especially I've noticed it with new people that come. The enemy tries everything to stop them from coming. I mean, they had a broken down car. Their, you know, kid threw up all over them. You know, I don't know if you've been there, but it happens. Are you getting a huge, how many of you have gotten a huge argument with your spouse on the way to church, you know, or before church? I mean, there's just things that happen and you know is the enemy and you're like, okay, I'm supposed to be at church today. Or you're sick and, you know, you were feeling fine Saturday, but then you wake up and you're not feeling so good. You know, I mean, you've been there, right? Well, the enemy, he wants to lead us astray. I don't know how many times, like, there's a message that is so good. I'm like, oh, that was so good. And I'm thinking about these certain people. I'm like, oh, man, I wish they were there today. That message was for them. Have you ever felt that way? I think God's just wanting to remind us. Church is a good thing. We need to be here. There's a purpose. There's a benefit. And he's got something for us when we're here. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let's see what the time it is. Okay, we're good. Hebrews 10, verse 22. It says, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Thank you, Lord. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Y'all, our world is messed up and it's not getting any better. If we don't gather together to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, if we don't gather together to encourage one another to go for the things that God's telling us to go for, it's going to be tough to do it on your own. It's going to be tough. I mean, it's not saying you can't do it. You can do it. But it's going to be tough. Our job is to not neglect meeting together, to come together and be a body of Christ. We are a representative of the body of Christ, the one flock who has one shepherd, a shepherd who loves us so dearly that he doesn't want one sheep lost, not one. And a shepherd that became the sheep. He stepped into the sheep role, you realize. He wasn't just a shepherd. He humbled himself. He let go of the glory and honor, and he humbled himself, and he became like us, a sheep. This is so crazy, y'all. He became a sheep. And then not only did he become the sheep, he died and was killed and destroyed. And every one of our sins, every one of our wrongdoings was put on him. And he became black like the sheep. He was the black sheep. He was the rejected. He was the one that nobody wanted for us. That's good. It's good. But then it says he presented, y'all, he presented his own blood in our place. Thank you, Jesus. I did not grow up in the time where they were sacrificing animals because little lammy would not be sacrificed, because I can't do that. It's really hard for me. When I was little, I was like such an animal lover, and it was super hard for me to see any of my cats or anybody die. So I can only imagine you have little lammy that you've been taking care of, and then you have to sacrifice. But thank you, Jesus. Once and for all, His blood covered all of our sins. There's no more sacrifice that needs to be made. It's been done. His blood covered it. He became our the sheep, and He became our substitute. Thank you, Lord. But I think it's interesting. He's talking about Christ's blood and, you know, how He made us pure and clean. And He says, hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. And then He goes on to motivate one another with acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together. Why do you think we're not supposed to neglect our meeting together? There's a purpose. There's a benefit. It's for your good. Encourage one another. Especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Y'all, it's not going to get any easier out there. But with God, we can do what He's called us to do. We can show up. We can serve. We can not neglect meeting together. We can motivate one another. We can encourage one another. We can be there for each other. But I love how in Matthew 9, we can go there. All the way down to verse 35. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. And when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to His disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His fields. I thought this was so interesting that He said, He saw them and He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. See, there's only one kind of person out there. They're sheep. They're all sheep. They're all His. But there's some that's truly lost. And they need Him. They need the good shepherd. And it's our job as sheep to go out and find those lost sheep. Now God, with His great love, He's chasing after them. He's sending people their way. He's loving on them in every way He possibly can. But He uses people. He uses other sheep that are like them to go out and to reach out to those lost sheep and say, listen, I know somebody that's good. That's the good shepherd. He can lead you in the right way. He can love you. He died for you. He sacrificed His life for you. Life will be a lot simpler, a lot easier if you just give your life to Him. I think as sheep, we have it good. God did all the hard part. You know, He did the part that, man, I wouldn't want to do. But He sacrificed His life for us. He sacrificed everything for us. And all we have to do is reach out to those sheep. And there's some people that are already Christians who really do love God, but they're lost. And maybe there's been people even here at Good News Church that have just strayed away. And I tell you, it breaks my heart. And I know it breaks the pastor's hearts. And I know it breaks God's heart, because I know it was the enemy's plan. I never could put it into Bible terms, but I always knew, like, as people, that they went away and they never got involved with another church, that their lives seemed to go to shambles, or they had a lot of problems and things like that. And I'm like, why is that? You know, I just couldn't figure it out. Like, I knew they still have God in them. They still love God and they want to do the right thing. But why is that? Why do people go off and do all these crazy things? They just need some direction. They need to be a part of a body, connected to each other, some place that they can be encouraged. And I feel like God wants to maybe give us a little bit of a warning and say, there may be days ahead that you may feel like, well, maybe they don't really care about me over there. They hadn't even told me thank you one time, or in a long time, about, you know, what I do or how I serve, or, you know, maybe there was a sickness or something that comes and it kind of gets you out of the habit of coming because of that sickness or whatever. I just want to warn us, including myself, don't neglect meeting together. Don't neglect coming together, because not only are you going to receive, but there's people that need what's in you. There's people that need the gifts that God has placed in you. And what our job as sheep is to do is to step up into those places. And yes, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult to do, you know, your outside job and come in here and do something else. Because, Lord, I know people's plates are full. But I tell you what, when you're doing what God's called you to do, there's an excitement, an energy, a fulfillment in it, because it's good. It's like, man, I was made to do this. And there's some days that you know you're made to do it, but you don't want to do it. Right? But you know what? Your pastors, not only did God, Jesus, sacrifice his life, but we have pastors that are like shepherds who do sacrifice a lot in their lives for their sheep. They didn't give their lives, but they do sacrifice a lot. And I feel like God wants us to honor them and value them and just appreciate them. Because you know what? They're not perfect. Only Jesus is. Right? I'm not perfect. Only Jesus is. That doesn't give me an excuse to do what I want to do, but I will let you know that I will let you down at some point. Your neighbor will let you down at some point, right? Your pastors will let you down at some point, some expectation that you may have had that they didn't fulfill. But I promise you, if maybe they didn't show up to what you wanted to show up to, or maybe they didn't visit you when you felt like they should visit you, I promise you that they aren't just laying at home doing nothing. They do need to rest at some points, but they're usually taking care of other sheep. I'm just letting you know. Because there's a lot of sheep and there's a lot to do, and the work is never done for them and for other leaders. We have some amazing leaders at Good News Church. There's lots of you that are shepherds over your thing that God's appointed you to. And you have an influence over the people that are in your home. You're a shepherd of your own home. And you're a shepherd over what God's appointed you to. There's an influence maybe at your work. We're all shepherds in some way. And he says, shepherd the flock, feed the sheep, protect them, show them the right way, lead them, guide them in the right direction. But thank you, Lord, we don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to shepherd our families on our own. We don't have to shepherd the people that he's put in our influence on our own. He is the good shepherd. He's the head of the church. He is the one that we look to, and we just be used by him. I want to read. Let me see what time it is. I want to read one more verse to you, and then we're going to just let God do his thing. How about that? Hebrews 13, verse 20. We went through a lot of scripture tonight, didn't we? This is so good. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood." Thank God that that covenant is eternal. That it can't back out. It's already been done. "May he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All the glory to him forever and ever. Amen." I love the part that says, "May he equip you with all you need for doing his will." Equipping is just giving you all the right stuff that you need for the plan that he has for you. And Jesus did the work. He is the great shepherd. And all we have to do is trust in the blood, the covenant that he made with us. And that it says, "May he equip you with all you need for his will." But I think it's interesting too that it says that the work of the ministry, all those fivefold ministry, their job is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Isn't that interesting? Their job is to equip us also. And it says, "May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him." There's good in you that he produced. Others need it. There's an equipping that he equipped you with to do his will and his plan. But we can't hold it all in and keep it to ourselves. We got to sometimes... God asks us to do things bigger than ourselves. And in those times that he asks us to step out and do those things, that's the time we grow. And those things, those equipments that were in there that we didn't quite know were in there, they start coming out. And you're like, "Where did that come from?" Well, that was Jesus. That was his equipment. He's our great shepherd. And he wants to help us and protect us and to keep us. But we got to listen to him. A lot of times we want to go, like I said at the beginning, we want to go our own way. We don't want to do what he's telling us to do because it doesn't look as good as what we think we should do. But it's for our own good. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much that you are our great shepherd, that you are the shepherd of the sheep, that you became the sheep. You became us so that you could die in our place, that nobody else had to die, but you died in our place. And your blood is what sealed the deal. You presented your own blood in our place. Thank you, Jesus, that now we don't have to go to a certain place to feel your presence, that your presence and your who you are is already in us. Everywhere we go, your presence is in us. And I am so thankful that we are your temple. And Lord, I just pray that everybody in here is a shepherd in some way. Lord, that you've either called them to a certain place or you called them to do certain things. And Lord, you know what those things are. And I pray as our shepherd that we would hear your voice and your voice alone, and that the enemy would have no place in our lives, and he would not call us or pull us astray or get us isolated away from the family, because in the family there's strength. In the family there's encouragement. In the family there's people there that can bring things out of us and help us through our hard situations. Every one of us, you said, would face trouble, but God, I'm thankful people that you put in place, a place where we can come back to our own people and we can be loved on and we can be encouraged and fed. And Lord, we just pray right now for our pastors, God, that they are so faithful and they sacrifice so much in so many ways. God, I pray that you bless them, that you help them, that you give them the wisdom they need to continue leading. Give them the wisdom they need to continue to guide Good News Church and the people of Good News Church. And thank you that they pray for us. And Lord, we just pray for them right now. And we just thank you for them right now. And we just ask you just to give them strength. Give them the ability to lead all of us, a sheep, in the right direction. Thank you, Lord, that we would step up as sheep and find our place in the body of Christ, that we would do what you've called us to do, and that we would reach out to around us in our worlds and find those lost sheep. There's lost sheep everywhere. Lord, may that compassion just well up in us. May that compassion just overtake us, and may we be willing and obedient to reach out and to share your gospel, your love with them. Thank you, Lord, that we're lost no more. You found us. You rescued us. And it's eternal. It can never be taken back. Even when we mess up, even when we're not perfect, you knew it from the beginning. You knew from the beginning we wouldn't be perfect, but you made it where we can always be forgiven. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for taking on our sins on yourself and being our sacrifice. May we have that same love for the people around us. Thank you, Father, for the influences that you've given us. Thank you, Father, that you put us in the right place at the right time to bring a word of wisdom, to bring a strength, to bring healing, to bring wholeness because of you outflowing through us to others. Lord, we just consecrate ourselves right now. We just say, Lord, use us. We will be willing. We will be obedient to your call. Help us not to just receive and just feed, but to be part of the people that give. Lord, I just thank you that as a Good News Church that we just rally together. We help one another. We pull those that are going the wrong direction back in the right way. And we just say, nope, that's not the way. God's got better for you. Help us, Lord, to look out for one another. Help us, Lord, to see things that maybe others don't see. Thank you for working through us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just trust you. In Jesus' name. And as we sleep tonight, Holy Spirit, I ask that you continue to counsel us, that you continue to show us things that we didn't know before, that you continue just to reveal your plan and your will, and Lord, that we wouldn't hold back anymore, that we give everything to you, and that we would let you be you in us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for protecting us. Thank you for being there for us wherever we go. And thank you for appointing people that watch out for us. We just trust you with our lives, and we trust you with everything in the days ahead. And we know that you have good. We love you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen.